Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Chateau of the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Kevin is back.
Yes.
All right, let's bring in Matt Shepard now, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball, one of the truly outstanding play-by-play guys out there. Matt, my friend, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's an honor to be on your show, Steve. I've been waiting a long time, and now I finally get the opportunity to be on with the classiest man in the Big Ten. How are you, my
friend? There we go. So another check mark on the goals of life.
My check is in the mail to you as well.
Matt, I want to get this basketball team and what they did to VCU. I think a lot of people, they don't know the numbers, don't get it. VCU was 27-1 when forcing 15 turnovers or more, 0-6 under. You and I both know Michigan only had 15 turnovers in two games this year. Michigan State, Penn State didn't win either game. The multiple guard set that John put out there on over the weekend, how brilliant a move was that to have, you know, the multiple point guards out there on the floor?
Yeah, you know, I think it made a lot of sense, but I think this didn't really surprise me, Steve. I mean, I guess the 25-point difference was a little surprising, but I told anybody who would listen at the Palace, I said, look, this is going to be the VCU matchup, I think, is better for Michigan than the South Dakota State matchup, and I said that not being arrogant or you know, too cocky. I just said I think their press Michigan can handle because they have ball handlers. Yeah. They have guys like Burke and Hardaway who's improved his handle. Stauskas can handle it. And I said Spike Albrecht's going to set a new career high in minutes, and he tied it. I mean, it was really smart by John Beilein. It's even better when, you know, you got guys who buy in. You know this. It's hard to get guys – sometimes I don't think really good teams do a good job. The good teams do a good job of buying in. Pat Chambers, hell of a coach, bought in. They play hard every single time you play them. May not always win. They play hard every time. Michigan has a high basketball IQ. They believe that their coaches are telling them the best way to beat the team they're about to play. May not always work that way, but they believed in, you know, the ability to beat the press, and I thought the press, Steve, was a non-factor in the entire game. So, yeah, they did the right thing. There's no doubt about it, but they made the right pass, and I knew it was going to lead to transition layups. Look, anybody who wants to play, coaches call it AAU ball. Anyone who wants to play AAU ball with Michigan the rest of this tournament, it's not the recipe to beat them. Do you guys know the recipe to beat them? You got Ross Travis. He's a big, tough son of a gun inside. You got DJ Newble who's ready to take it outside. You get certain guys who can play that tough, muck-it-up game inside until McGarry's been in that starting lineup, that was effective. If you want to try and beat him in transition, to me, that's not the right methodology of going about beating the Wolverines.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, I told people here on this show the same thing, that South Dakota State would be a tougher matchup because I like the way they style. I thought Michigan-VCU was an easy Michigan call. I really did because the styles didn't match up.
Exactly. I mean, look, 413 steals is an Atlantic 10 record. It's really impressive for VCU. They forced 20 turnovers per game. They forced 20 or more 19 times this year, and they were 19-0. That's great. But Michigan only turns it over 9.2 times per game, and that is best in the country. They don't foul very often. They have ball handlers. I don't want to say they're used to it, but they handled Arkansas's press without much problem a year ago and this year. Again, it's transition. It lets Glenn Robinson get out and run. It lets Tim Hardaway get out and run. It lets guys like Mitch McGarry, get out and run. This is the kind of style they want to play. They would have played that all day long.
Mitch McGarry had the double-double against Penn State in the tournament. When he's out there, you know, he's not going to be the number one option, but when he's out there with his pure effort, hustle, what does that then mean to the other four guys?
Well, I think it's contagious. I think you can tell. You know, you're right. He's not going to be the number one option. He understands that. He's going to be that cleanup guy. He gives them an opportunity every night to at least, I think, penetrate the lane a little bit better because he's sitting there boxing out. It'll be interesting to watch him and Jeff Withey go at it, won't it? Because Withey is such a good shot blocker, best in the history of Kansas basketball. Mitch McGarry, from the time that he's first started, and that was against MSU, which was his worst game of the season, to the time where he just played his best game of his career, is totally different. He completely understands the offensive and, more importantly, the defensive rotations better. He's a totally different player now, and if he continues at this rate, Steve, I think they're going to be really hard to beat no matter who they play.
The length of Tim Hardaway, have you seen a maturity that is now matching the talent, Matt?
Yeah, I don't. It's not as much about his game, Steve. You and I both talked, I think, a year ago where we thought in order for him to make it to the next level, he's got to create a better handle. I think he's done that.
Yeah.
I look at two sides. I look at his defense, number one, and number two, I look at his leadership. And I know that's oftentimes overused, but there was a game the other day against, well, it was against VCU, where he was screaming at Trey Burke on the floor. He was screaming at him and Nick Stauskas on what they're supposed to do. And the expectations of this team amongst each other are no high. It can't be, you know, it's higher than all the things that the fans and members of the media expect. So he's not afraid to chew a guy out here or there. They sat down in the huddle, and then he and Trey Burke got into it for a little bit, and then Burke kind of patted himself on the chest, and he said, look, it's my bad. It's my fault. I'm sorry. That's the maturity of Tim Hardaway. That's him growing a little bit and his willingness to talk a little bit more. I think people forget about that too, Steve. You and I understand that by talking to coaches and players. If you're not talking with one another, you know, we think communication is only used in your business and my business.
Right.
I think it's really important in sports, not just, you know, Matt McGloin going to the line of scrimmage and telling who to be where, but it's also guys on the road, especially, or in neutral floors defensively, being able to tell each other what they're supposed to do and when switches are coming. And Tim Hardaway's really, really done a nice job of improving that way.
And he never would have done that before. I mean, that shows how much he's grown. And if you ever go to a basketball practice, and Matt, you and I have gone to many of them, the noise in a gym is loud. Why? Because you and I are hearing them on defense talk. People do not realize the amount of talking that happens among good basketball teams when they're communicating on defense.
I agree, but not only that, but he probably wouldn't have done it a year ago, but he would have conceded to somebody else.
Yes, yeah, he would have been deferential.
And now he won't do that now. Now he's not afraid to step forward. You know, after a lot, you can find out a lot about teams after they win and after they lose, too. I'm going to tell you something. Every single time, that guy is there for the media, win or lose. That's important. After victories, while everybody celebrates, he's the one who makes sure he steps up and says, listen, we're not done yet, okay? So he has a purpose. He has, a goal to achieve, and he makes sure that the team is reminded of it after every single game.
Where have Stauskas and Robinson grown in their games in 3 months?
Well, I think Robinson defensively, I think at times he had gotten a little bashful on taking shots. They don't run a whole lot of plays for him, but I think he has grown defensively and understood that he can make a difference in games in different ways. It's not always about scoring and taking alley-oop jams. You know, he's not afraid to get in there and mix it up a little bit rebounding-wise. You know this. Sometimes you have to learn that when you get to the Big Ten. It can take you a while to learn that. When you're banging bodies with Jared Bergeron, when you're banging bodies with Ross Travis and Adrian Payne and guys of that, and Deshaun Thomas, guys of that nature, it takes you a little bit of a while as an 18-year-old. So I think he's grown in that area, and now he's really getting out, and he's being a little bit more athletic, and I think they're spreading him out a little bit more. Stauskas still has a little bit more to learn defensively, but I think before he felt like, I've got to shoot the ball from deep range in order for me to be effective. now he's putting it on the deck more and driving more. He did that so well against VCU. Look, he wasn't the first one the cameras and microphones went to because he wasn't one of those guys in double figures. But I thought he was pretty effective in trying to loosen up a defense by attacking the cup.
Have you seen a guard change speeds in the middle of a play better than Burke?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. You and I have seen a lot of good ones in this conference, right?
Yeah, I know, but I can't recall anybody, Matt, that I saw in the middle of play fast change and then go again. There's been so many good ones, but I haven't seen one like that does it as smoothly as this guy does.
Well, you've been doing it longer than I have, but in the Big Ten, probably not. In the country, probably. I mean, you know, Chris Paul at Wake Forest,
right.
He's pretty dynamic as a sophomore. In the Big Ten, I don't think so. Now, does that translate to the NBA? I'm not sure, but I love Trey Burke, and I think you've had a chance to talk with him before. He's a really good kid. He really is. Sometimes he's too good of a kid. You and I have seen so many players where we're going, I don't know if I'd want my children to look up to them. Trey Burke's one of those guys that I would have no issue with it whatsoever. He's that good of a kid. I think he's a phenomenal player, an absolutely phenomenal player. I think he makes others around him better. I think the other day against South Dakota State, he showed great maturity in saying, listen, I scored 6 points. I just want to contribute. I don't care if I score. I just want to contribute to a win. He's not afraid to bark at guys on the floor. That's come a little bit easier to him as the season's gone on, and he is a cutthroat winner. He wants to win. People were ripping on him earlier this year, Steve, in Detroit, for taking step-back threes near the end of games against Ohio State, against Wisconsin, against Michigan State. And I tried to remind them, look, that's not unusual. Look at Aaron Kraft. Look what he did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sized up his man and then launched a three, and they won it. That's kind of the mentality that a lot of these guys have. Yeah, I think he's – you know where he's improved too, Steve, is he's taken defense a lot more serious.
Yeah.
He understands that it's more important. I had a scout come up to me earlier this year and ask me, you know, you and I talk to a lot of scouts, and he says, hey, listen, are there any – he used a certain word on this team, and I said, on the floor they can be like that sometimes, and you want that. Off the floor, no, they're all great kids. And he says, you tell Trey Burke, we watched a game earlier this year where against Binghamton where he wasn't playing hard on the defensive side, and I looked at the scout, I knew him by name, and I said, wait a minute. I mean, and I told him what Trey Burke had, and he says, yeah, but you tell him we're always watching. We're watching every single possession. I told him that, and he understands. I mean, he knows that people are looking at him both and defensively.
Matt, one final question to let you go with Matt Shepard, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. You mentioned Jeff Withey. Off the top, I mean, what kind of matchup is this for Michigan?
Well, Michigan struggled against Wisconsin this year, Steve, because, you know, Jared Berggren is Wisconsin's all-time leader in block shots.
Right.
He alters shots as well. Now, in fairness to the Wolverines, they were playing Jordan Morgan, and Mitch McGarry was not the same player he is right now. Jeff Withey is a senior. Mitch McGarry is a freshman, so it might be slightly different in that regard. He causes problems because when you attack that lane, he's going to force you to think more than once about either taking it all the way or, you know, some type of pull-up jumper in the lane because, like I said, he alters so many shots. No, I think Kansas is really athletic. I think Michigan has a massive advantage at the point guard position. I hope it's a classic. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think if Michigan plays the way they did the other day, if Kansas doesn't – now, they're really good now, number one in the country in defensive field goal percentage. So that tells you something. But if Michigan can get out in the open, if they can run their transition, they've got a good shot to hang in there and beat them.
And, again, that's the first game on Friday. The nightcap, by the way,
right,
is Florida – against the team I just watched. I was in Philadelphia. I saw Gulf Coast. It's a wild ride, Matt. It's a wild ride to watch them. they defy convention in every way you can think.
I think it's an awesome storyline, though, isn't it? I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Oh, it is, but they defy how you do things because they are one of those. They are a high risk, high reward team, which also means they're also high risk and also potential on the edge of disaster team. So they're fun to watch in that regard. But that's after your game. Matt,
had you heard that Florida Gulf Coast was trying to schedule Florida for a scrimmage before the season began?
Yeah, they tried to scrimmage them. In fact, you know, the irony is Penn State 2 years ago played Temple in the NCAAs at Tucson.
Right.
And those two teams had scrimmaged in the start of the season. Well, Florida Gulf Coast tried to get Florida to scrimmage. Billy Dunn, nah, I don't think so.
Well, now it'll be worth more than just a couple of cups of Gatorade on the side, won't it?
Yeah, the Atlantic Sun's out there counting units right now.
Yeah, how's Tim Frazier doing, by the way?
He's doing well. You know what? He's doing really well. I think he's ahead of where they thought he might be at this stage, but still working his way toward basketball activities. You know, the Achilles takes a little more time.
Yeah.
But the if you're going to say if there's any plus to having an injury like that, is it happened to him in the fourth game of the year against Akron. If it had happened in January or February, wow. But now, because it happened back in November, it gives him a much better shot at being 100% for the start of next season.
Good. I root for him. I walked up to him before you guys were at our place at Chrysler Center, and I shook his hand and I said, I just want you to know I miss watching you play. I mean, I want to see the best in the country, and I think you're one of them. I wish you a speedy recovery. What a great kid he is.
Yeah. Dean's
you
list.
You guys are going to have a ton of fun next year, man, because I'm telling you right now, Ross Travis is one of my favorite players in this conference. Yeah. He really is. I think he's a dynamite player.
Yeah. Well, he's Dean. By the way, Frazier's Dean's list, too. Like you said, you and I get to be around some pretty good kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. We're privileged, that's for sure. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Matt, as always, thanks, my friend. Good trip down there.
Thank you. Anytime.
Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of Michigan, going to Arlington and Jerry World. Can you see Florida Gulf Coast and Jerry World?
That's going to be a circus.
Well, we're going to hear from Brett Comer in a few moments. Just brief, after the game, in the locker room, chance among a group to talk with him. We'll do that in a few moments as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive, XLT only $16,791. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door sedan, GLS just $17,591. 2012 Chevrolet Colorado, extended cab LT, $17,627. 2011 Subaru Legacy, four-door sedan, $21,498. 2007 Chevy Tahoe, four-door, four-wheel drive, $21,995. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew, 145 Lariat. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Are you still counting?
Yeah, I got 13 in the last 16.
That's pretty good. Please don't tell me you're Florida Gulf Coast in your Sweet 16.
No, I had Georgetown. I had Georgetown. But I can tell you right now exactly what I said to Dick 5 minutes into the game. You know, we're sitting there watching this because we were in Philadelphia.
Right.
And I looked at him. I said that is the better team. I said they have better athletes. He goes, yeah, no kidding. Now they fell behind 18-11, and I said, look, I said if they're the next team that scores, they're going to win this thing. Well, they were the next team that scored, and they got the thing to 22. Was it 22-22 at halftime, 24-22 at halftime?
Something like that.
The second half, they just ran them out. Now, look, they defy conventional wisdom. Now, listen, they're coming down the stretch. 7-point lead, couple minutes to go. You know, most coaches bring the ball out, protect it, run some clock, get some late game thing. That this team, Brett Comer's the point guard. They threw an alley-oop.
Probably nothing smart, but it's something me and him have done all the time this year. I mean,
and he knew. He knew what you were gonna do.
We've connected on so many alley-oops. It's ridiculous. I knew where he was, and he knew I was gonna throw it. So I mean, we'll probably see it on Sports Center.
Yeah, he was already taken off when you were scooping.
Yeah, he knew what was gonna happen right there, and I knew where he was.
Now,
so
why do that? Why do that for people who say that's a hasty, foolhardy play at that points, time score situation, people? But in your mind, why do that right now?
Well, I mean, you guys saw the result. The whole gym went berserk. We got all the momentum
answer.
After that.
He's just, this kid's
going,
great.
You know, I mean, like, why not? You know, I mean, he's wide open. He's the most athletic dude on the court. And I know exactly where he is, and he's thrown down so many this year. He's like the leading dunker on our team. So, I mean, I knew where he was, so we just connected on it.
I said to Comer, I said, Brett, I said, is this the best home crowd you've ever had? Because let's face it, except for the Georgetown people, the whole place is going nuts for him. He said, this is the greatest. He said, 2 years ago, we got 75 students a game. He said, now we got 18,000 people behind us.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our thanks to Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State, Matt Shepard, the play-by-play voice of Michigan, and Will Tiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State. Tomorrow, John Gonzalez from Philadelphia, LaSalle grad, heading out to Los Angeles to cover LaSalle.
Oh, there's a terrible job.
Sports Philly. He was just in Dayton yesterday. He actually had Temple yesterday. And we'll have John on tomorrow. Brian Tripp from Baton Rouge. Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana. And on Wednesday, David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News. Dave in Sunbury has been waiting. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin.
Great to have you with us, Dave.
We'll start with Kevin.
Okay.
How was your R&R?
Wonderful. Wonderful. It got a little cool at the end of the week, but you know what? R&R is R&R, you know?
I thought you were going to ask me how my R&R was.
Well, yeah, Steve, how was yours?
It was maybe the greatest week in the history of the show.
Enjoy it while it lasted. 5 days, done.
Well, Steve, did you see anything of the wrestling?
I watched it.
Did you pay close attention to the announcers for that thing with Dake and
David Taylor?
Taylor, about their buddies?
Well, I'll tell you right now.
They're competitors, but his comment that he beat him like a dog at that interview, that sent me through the ceiling. The only reason you won, buddy, was that penalty, that bonus point for riding time.
Well, yeah, but you know what? That ride was extremely effective with the arm bar in the back of the neck. You know, I mean, that was very effective. Dake is a great wrestler for the sport, but he's not a great wrestler that helps the sport. He's a great wrestler in terms of the ability to be a technically proficient wrestler, and when he gets in trouble, he's very quick. But he does not push forward the sport of wrestling because his style is so dull. Winning is not dull, but to the casual fan, you sit there and go, do something, do something, do something. I'm watching 7 minutes of this, do something.
Well, and also you got to improve his people skills.
Well, he's exuberant. He's done something nobody's ever done before. I'll cut him some slack on that.
He does that all the time, Steve. I've seen him other matches.
Yeah, but you know
it's a running thing with him.
Well, maybe a running thing with him, but he's done something nobody's ever done. He's won 4 weight classes in 4 years, which is remarkable. Now, is there a way to win with grace? Yeah, there's a way to win with grace. I mean, we've seen that around here for a long, long time, winning with grace. And when David Taylor wins, he wins with grace. But at the same time, you know, is Dake better than David? Yeah, you have to say he is because he beat him 3 times this year. They're all close, but he had enough to win each time. But Dake is not an exciting wrestler to watch. He does not. If I'm with the Olympic Committee and I'm watching him wrestle, I'm going, no wonder we're dropping it from 2020. You know, because he's just not exciting to watch.
Well, I'll let you finish now. There's a comment for you.
I mean, David Taylor is flamboyant, has a style, goes out there, is exciting, go for it. I mean, we've been talking about Florida Gulf Coast here. Andy Enfield in his press conference that I was at was talking about, hey, look, we're high risk, high reward. David Taylor wrestles like that. I mean, meanwhile, I mean, Dake does enough to win, which is great. But in terms of, like, promoting the sport and making it more watchable, he's not more watchable at all.
Well, I had a comment, you know, I was talking to my twin brother. And as far as...
There's two of you?
Yes, there is. Well, and we were born 3 years after the other set of twins were born.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think our mom was doing?
Back I don't know. I'll try to leave that out there and move on.
But we said a couple of those wrestlers, if they'd go over and get a hold of Fritzy as far as the weight training and stuff, mm-hmm. it would help them tremendously. I don't know, because I don't know what their weight training is like. You know, I know they have one, but it's football and wrestling is totally different as far as what you're concentrating on.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have specific weight training for every sport. Football and basketball is completely different. They have different weight trainers, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm just saying, you know, some of the different things that Fritzy tries now is totally different than what most of your regular, you know, most trainers do in football, because I know he does some of the things that they're unorthodox.
Fitzy does some more unorthodox things, but I think you would find that his training is more standard. I mean, there's two standards to it, and you know, John Thomas was more machines. Fitzy is not, but it's split among those in weight training as to which one. I think it's to whatever your style happens to be, and what Fitzy does works for him. And Fitzy's a great motivator.
I only thought for one thing is, if the kids can, the young people can go through different, you know, trainings and maybe pick something up that might help them.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the university and good for the kids.
Well, I mean, Penn State doesn't have a. I mean, the wrestling team. I mean, nobody got tired in the third period.
No,
I mean, Taylor wasn't getting
great for them.
And Taylor wasn't getting tired in the third period against Dake. It's just Dake got him in a bad spot. And he took that arm and he just put it right in the neck, and he would not let him go. Technically proficient, boring to watch.
But Miko, when he grabbed that single leg, if he just kept right on a trucking, when he slowed there and put his head down, that's
right,
when he got in trouble.
Yeah, he got in big trouble when that happened. And Brown got in trouble, but Wright was brilliant. Ruth was brilliant. They won a third straight national championship. That's brilliant. But I will say this. As excited as people are about wrestling winning the third championship, if Taylor had won, it would have been euphoric. But Taylor not winning, I think, took a little edge off of it for some fans.
Well, for my family, because we all root for Penn State, period, whatever the sport is, be honest, no, it didn't take anything off for us. But you're right, a regular casual fan, it put a chip in it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. All right, thanks, Dave. And I know some people were upset, for example, that SportsCenter talked about Dake winning and never mentioned Penn State won a third straight championship. And that's, you know, if some people say, well, that's because, believe me, I don't think they sat there in the newsroom and said, oh, let's just stick it to Penn State. I think, no.
I think they just sat there and how quickly can we cover this and get over it and get
yes,
through it.
Because it's wrestling.
Right.
Okay. And that's what fans have to understand. Wrestling is still very much a pocket sport. In Oklahoma, huge. Iowa, huge. Pennsylvania, huge. Ohio, no. Indiana, no. Michigan, no. Texas, definitely not. California, no. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what I said.
Wrestling is where it's hot, it's really hot, like where we live.
And that's where I said I think these new networks that are coming up, of course, speed transitioning over to Fox Sports and NBC Sports Network, CBS Sports Network.
Kev, I don't think
they
so.
Have chance. Yeah, but they have a chance to pick up some
Kev,
things.
I don't
but
think
it's
so.
Not. You still think it's not enough mainstream even for them to try and compete?
Kev, I don't think so.
That's a shame.
I really don't.
I mean, even the Big Ten, I thought, backed off in their coverage this year.
Yes, they did. All right. I mean, look, they know what works. They, you know, and you're going to have F1 come in, Fox, right?
Well, F1 is in NBC Sports now.
Well, I mean, whatever Fox is going to be, I think that's what they're going to call it.
Oh, yeah, they're FS1.
They're taking
FS1.
On the speed channel.
Yeah, I think FS1. It's Fox Sports 1.
Right? I mean, what contracts are they getting? Are they getting college? Are they getting wrestling contracts? Are they out there right now procuring football and basketball contracts?
Yeah, they looked at football and basketball right away.
Exactly. They would rather put on a talk show breaking down the tournament or do a talk show breaking down the week in the NFL than they would putting on a college wrestling match. I'm just telling you. I mean, that's not me being negative about the sport. I mean, I'm trying to give you, okay, one of the more important things you have to do here is you have to give people real answers. Okay, that's not the answer people who love wrestling want to hear. I'm telling you, wrestling does not have a shot at getting back in the Olympics. Okay?
No, I think you're right there.
All right. And there are reasons for it. It's not the sport, but it's the politicization of the IOC. They're not going to do it. The wrestling people are working their guts out. We have put people on this show working hard to get people, hey, look, you know, get on board. This is how you can help. This is how you can do it. Because wrestling absolutely, positively, in my mind, should not be dropped from the Olympics. Okay? Do I think that when they make the final decision in September, they'll make it? No. And that's not me being negative. I'm being realistic with people. They have to hear a real answer. Okay? I'm telling you, I firmly believe that we are in a time where the Eastern Rim wants to do things where they want to dominate economies, they want to dominate consciousness, and they want to dominate marketplace and dominate sports. You know, and sports being part of that domination to allow people to think, oh, what a great society they are. That's why they put the Olympics in Beijing. And what did we see was a 16-day commercial for Beijing in China, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Okay.
With exactly. No smog.
Right, exactly. Okay. Oh, this wonderful place, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, yeah, fine.
2 weeks later, right. The smog advisories came back.
Yeah, of course they did. All right. Well, what they want to do is they're trying to take the East German model and the Soviet model of what they did in the 60s, 70s, and into the early 80s, where they won medals left and right. And, of course, you're not quite sure how some of them did it. I mean, some of the shot putters for East Germany on the female side. trouble getting dates. But they wanted to get medals and show, you know, this is how great our society is. That's what they're doing in People's Republic of China. Why do you think I firmly believe that karate will be the exit?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I think there's no question.
It's a multiple medal, 10 weight class sport that has 30 medals available that they can win 20 in. They need 20 to get over the top and get past the United States. I'm telling you, the political lobby is going that direction. Right? Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to happily tell you in September I'm wrong. Okay, I'll be the first one to happily tell you in September that I'm wrong. Okay, but I'm trying to lay out what I see as a reality here. And the reality does not go to the sport of wrestling, which is an original Olympic sport, is a great sport, is a sport all of us love. I love going to Rec Hall and watching Penn State. And how many times on this show have I referred to Penn State wrestling as the show in college wrestling?
Can't even count.
Okay, because they are. And guess what? Penn State is the one program that wrestles an exciting, high-risk, high-reward style. Okay? Dake doesn't. Dake does exactly what Dake needs to do to win. But he's Wisconsin basketball. Okay?
How many times have I said in this show what Bo Ryan does for Wisconsin is absolutely perfect for what Wisconsin needs to do to win? And how many times have I said that Wisconsin basketball is not good for the game? Dake does exactly what he needs to do to win, and nor should he ever change. But for the overall good of the sport, it doesn't help.
Well, let me go back to what I originally said was the fact that, you know, with all these new sports networks, there was an opportunity. I look at CBS Sports Network as one of those networks that is actually trying to do something a little bit different. And they bring a ton. Now, I understand it's football, but they're bringing a ton of FCS games that normally wouldn't get national coverage.
Exactly. They're doing FCS games.
But I get it's football.
Are they doing football? Okay.
But I get it's football.
They're doing football.
Now, but what about channels like Fox Soccer? Now, I know that's going to be rebranded here shortly, but that's been around, since 2005? I mean, I would not consider, my personal opinion, I would not consider soccer a huge sport for television in the United States.
Yet there are people that have latched on the Premier League and love it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great point, because the Premier League has gotten a lot of coverage over
Liverpool,
even on Fox Network.
Right. Liverpool, Arsenal, Man U. Remember, Fox has the World Cup.
Right.
Okay? Thus, they are going to promote it however they can. I talked to Gus Johnson about this 2 weeks ago. I mean, Gus's biggest complaint about the Premier League is that the food in England stinks. That's what he said.
I miss him on the tournament, by the way.
He said, Steve, the food in England stinks. I said, Gus. Like, now, I want to tell you right now, I think Gus Johnson is a great announcer.
Miss him in the tournament.
Okay. Football announcer, great. Basketball announcer, great. And his ability to take an exciting moment and enhance it as an announcer is as good as anybody in the world. Now here's his problem. I think Dave O'Brien, and I know Dave a little bit. Dave's also the Red Sox announcer, so he and I, when Dave and I talk, we talk Red Sox baseball, because he says, Steve, I wonder what you think about the moves they made. You know, and I'll tell him that was good, that was bad, you know. Okay. Dave is as good as anybody. Great baseball announcer. Really good basketball announcer. But ESPN assigned him to the World Cup, and soccer people skewered him. Gus is, I've already told you what I think of him as an announcer.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Fox, it's not the move I would have made. The reason why is that he has to be perfect when he does this. If you would put on, for example, Ian Dark. Okay. Ian Dark. And I don't want to hear about, oh, it's because of the British accent. No. But he's a soccer. John Paul Della Camera's a soccer guy. He's from the United States, all right? You put somebody like that on that is deeply entrenched already in the minds of those who are passionate about the game. They can make a mistake here or there, and they're like, it's just Ian. You know what I mean? But if Gus Johnson makes the exact same mistake, soccer fans are going to skewer him because they don't consider him a soccer guy.
But I find soccer fans will do that before a lot of fans will. I mean, soccer fans, I mean, there are two. Soccer, and I'll be honest with you, soccer and wrestling fans, if you're not a soccer or wrestling guy, they know immediately. Mm-hmm. They know immediately.
Right.
And that's not a put down. That's just just the way they are.
They're passionate.
Right.
They're passionate about it. That's fine. I understand that. But that's the risk. See, that's why when I heard he was going to do the World Cup, and, you know, I did not talk to him about this, but I did talk to him about doing soccer, because I know he's doing some of the San Jose Earthquakes games and so forth. And I talked to Gus a little bit about that. But, you know, I mean, that's the risk that they have. And the same thing with wrestling. You know, the margin of error or forgiveness by the fans is small. How about that?
Very well put.
Very small. And especially now for wrestling, they feel more threatened as a sport than ever because of the Olympic thing. I mean, there is no professional wrestling. So the Olympics were the next step to, you know, put out there as a goal. And wrestling is such a high goal-oriented sport. Yeah. Incredibly high goal-oriented sport. So, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yep.
That might be the saving grace for the new Fox Sports Network is Major League Baseball games.
Well, no, they'll have football. They'll do a lot of football, a lot of talk shows. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They'll
be able to run some of the divisional games on that without having to give it away, without having to give more games away to TBS TNT.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you're talking, I think when you talk about, for example, more wrestling or more whatever on, because there'll be additional sports channels, every time this step has happened, ESPN, and they have ESPN2, now you have ESPNU, all right? And then Fox, and it's Fox Sports Net, and now, you know, and CBS Sports Net, and Big Ten Network. What's happened every time?
Everybody's covered the same things. I mean, the same sports, just maybe a different game.
I mean, they don't add these other sports.
There is one channel, though, that does. There is one channel that does, and it's not carried very many places, probably because of it, but Universal, NBC Universal Sports, does carry some unusual sporting events. Non-typical, I'll call it.
I think the last time I watched that, they had on John Wayne and the Undefeated.
That's the wrong Universal.
Purdy Insurance brought us the show today. John Gonzalez, LaSalle tomorrow. Brian Tripp, Wednesday, David Jones.